Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved family of God. Praise the Lord. This is Sister Glass, and I look forward to sharing with you the wonderful truths of God's Word. There is no problem that you face, beloved. There's nothing that occurs in your life that a miracle from God can't solve. And that's exactly why I'm on this broadcast, to share with you the wonderful ways of our God, to explore the perfect law of the Lord, that we could love it as we've never loved it before, and realize it's the answer to every problem that man has ever faced, the answer to our own personal lives. God has a solution for you. Now, with the Lord's help, I'm hoping to wind this message up, so I'm going to move quickly, as I've been doing all week. But we want to look at the life of Elijah. And as I was bringing yesterday's broadcast to a close, I shared that depression almost always results from viewing things from our perspective. That's exactly what was happening to Elijah. He wanted to die. He said, God, take my life. And in order to be extricated from this horrible pit, because I don't know about you, beloved, I've been there. I have. Elijah was. He was a man of like passions as we are, and I think if we're honest, there's times in our lives when we have done all that we've known to do. We've labored, we've prayed, we've just exhausted ourselves, and it seems that there's no fruit, there's no results, and depression is the result of it. In the natural, that's not God's that is not where God wants to leave us. He did not leave Elijah in that place. But in order for Elijah to experience spiritual renewal, if you will, in order for you and I to be released from depression and discouragement, we've got to have revelation. And then there's a couple other remedies of the Lord that I'm going to share with you. But let us read verses 15 through 18. And the Lord said unto him, this is after he repeats for the second time exactly where he was at, that he was the only one left, and that he was rehearsing to the Lord how hard he had worked, how hard he had tried, and how difficult the job God had given him was. The people were totally rebellious and wouldn't listen. So the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholo shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. What is the Lord saying? He's giving him some instructions. He's giving him some actions and some things in which he needs to be obedient. And he's basically saying, as far as your appraisal of the situation, Elijah, you're wrong. God said there were yet 7,000 in Israel who were faithful to the Lord, who had not bent their knee to Baal. And so he was also giving him instructions. And beloved, I don't have the time to go in. It's a fascinating story to read. But he gives him those instructions that I just shared with you. And basically, God is going to have his way, but it wasn't going to be in the lifetime of Elijah. He was to disciple Elisha, and in the lifetime of Elijah, there were specific things that were going to occur, and in the sons of the prophet. We see that as far as the efforts that Elijah had exerted, well, it didn't look very encouraging or optimistic, because Ahab fell again under the evil influence of Jezebel, and Baal worship, basically, it would recover from the blow that Elijah had dealt it. But nonetheless, the Lord was going to deal and ultimately destroy Baal worship. He took three steps, and those are bound up in the instructions that God had given to Elijah. And basically, this is really, also God has a way of dealing with his people. You know, I was just reading the other day that really after the Babylonian captivity, when Judah had been carried off to Babylon for 70 years, they again maybe weren't walking with the Lord in the way they should have been. Reason and materialism may have taken over, but never again did the land of Israel ever return to worshiping other gods. They finally were delivered from that. And so sometimes it's slow work, but God does work. And even today, there may be Jews, they're not really practicing Jews, they're not Orthodox, but I tell you what, unless they're totally under the complete sway of the evil one, they will acknowledge a creator God, one God. The Lord our God is one God. And so they eventually did learn this lesson. But let me share with you quickly the ways that God used these three steps that were ultimately taken to destroy Baal worship. There was the sword of war against Israel. Actually, when Ahab was still king, he was to be attacked by the Syrians. And for that purpose, Hazael was to take the Syrian throne. Remember, that is one specifically the instruction that God gave to Elijah: anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And when his master Ben-Hadad heard that Elisha was in Damascus, he sent him to the prophet to inquire if he would recover from his sickness. And he was told, yes, you would recover, but the Lord showed him that he would surely die. Well, basically, Hazael murdered his master and acquired the throne. So, what was the next thing? We see the sword of justice. There was civil war. When Ahab was finally weakened in terms of his power and strength, we see that Jehu would seize Ahab's throne. Actually, Jehu was anointed not by Elijah, interestingly, but his godly heritage, if you will. The heritage from, there was Elijah, Elisha was his disciple, if you will, and then Elisha mentored the sons of the prophet. Well, really, it was the sons of the prophet anointed Jehu. And that's interesting to note. Many times, sometimes if it feels a prophecy is not fulfilled in a person's lifetime, the prophetic words that have gone on before them will be carried down through the generations. And in this case, the spiritual generations, that was surely true, because Jehu would seize Ahab's throne. Remember, the sons of the prophet anointed him. They killed Jehoram, Ahab's son, and Ahab's 70 grandsons. Jehu was a ruthless soldier and a known opponent of Baal worship. And then, of course, there was the sword of the Spirit. Elisha, under Jehu, would ensure the complete destruction of the adherents of Baal. So, the fact of the matter is, we may not see the results in our lifetime that we have desired. You know, many times, I can't give you specific results right now, specific examples, but I have read of missionaries that have labored their entire lives unknown, unsupported in a country. They had hardly any fruit. Sometimes no one was saved, but they were faithful. They lived their lives out trying to be obedient to God, and many times it wasn't until their death that revival finally began to break out. So, beloved, it doesn't matter whether we see the results or not, or Of course, it's human. We want to see revival. Just like Elijah, he was hoping there'd be a great national revival, but there wasn't. So often in our lives, we may not see the things that we desire, but nonetheless, be assured, just as God effectively dealt with Baal worship under ancient Israel, he will have his way. And it doesn't matter how the heathen rage, how the nations rebel against the God of heaven, God, our Jehovah, the only God, and his Son, his victorious Son, Jesus Christ, he's going to return to this earth, and he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. He will destroy the wicked, and the rule of the Lord will be known, and the knowledge of the Lord will be known as waters cover the sea. Praise God. God is going to have his way, beloved, and the important thing is that you obey God. You do what God has asked you to do. Don't be concerned about the results. The only thing you have to be concerned about is doing what God tells you to do. Praise God. So, in summary, how can I bring some closing thoughts to what I've been sharing all week? Beloved, our actions, your spirit-led action and obedience are vital. Remember that Jehoram, the son of Ahab, did remove the image of Baal that his father had made, but he still wrought evil. Remember, he followed in the sins of Jeroboam, who had erected golden calves up in Daniel, and in the northern kingdom and in the southern kingdom. And so we see that our actions, our obedience, they're just part of God's divine process. They're part of his strategy. And beloved, when we let depression short-circuit us and allow discouragement to deplete and take our strength from us, we cease to be vital. And so, beloved, I'm calling to you today, you modern-day Elijahs, come out of your caves. We're to have the mind of Christ. We are to be filled with the Spirit of God. Remember what the word of the prophet said in Isaiah, the 42nd chapter, verse 4, he shall not fail nor be discouraged, speaking of Christ, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isle shall wait for his law. Beloved, right now, in the authority of the name of Jesus, I bind and take authority over every spirit of depression and discouragement. Come out of your cave, and in the name of Jesus, Father, I praise you that there will be an anointing to carry on, to follow whatever the instructions of the Lord are, and to leave results with you, and to know, Lord, that you will not be defeated. Your plan is perfect, and we honor you and we give you praise in the glorious and mighty name of the risen, triumphant Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise God. Bless the Lord. Beloved, it's been an honor and a privilege to minister to you this week. I invite you to write, share those prayer requests, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.